This is WFAE Talks, our weekly podcast from Some Voices Inside Our Newsroom. I'm Greg Collard, news director at WFAE, and joining me are reporters Lisa Miller and Ben Bradford. Guys, it's been a hell of a week.
Yeah.
It's an understatement.
Right, I know. A lot of coal ash happening this
week. No coal ash. It's a coal ash-free show. Of course, we usually focus on a few stories each week. Today, it's just Patrick Cannon. Now, former Mayor Patrick Cannon. Now, former Mayor Patrick Cannon accused of taking bribes from developers who were really undercover FBI agents. Wow. We were in the newsroom Wednesday, about 1:45, talking to Sneem and Shama and Duncan McFadden, and you kind of start to chime in a little. We're talking about possibly covering some CATS meeting about fare increases.
And, simpler times, Greg. Yeah, and simpler
then,
times.
And behind us, Mike Tomczyk, reporter Mike Tomczyk, says
something. He says something inappropriate.
Holy shit. he says it again, and I'm like, okay, calm down a little. I'm kind of talking here. I'm thinking he's kind of annoying me a little bit, to be honest. Then finally, because I didn't realize it was going to be like this, and I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
And
why is he interrupting? I was thinking, gosh, it's kind of rude, you know, I'm sitting here talking. Of course, I was.
Yeah. These the Department of Justice emails that come in, you know, we get several of them every day, and there's never any sort of subject headline. So sometimes, you know, most often it's usually kind of small stuff.
Yeah, the only thing it says in the headlines, it says the name of the person, and it'll say like what has happened, if it's, you know, arrested, indicted, charged, you know, any of those kind of things. That's basically it.
But in the subject, it doesn't say anything like that.
No, it's, you just have to click on. Yeah,
you have to click on it.
It's the name of the PDF. So when you click on it, it says, you know, and it says Cannon arrested. But, you know, Michael, he only clicked on it because, you know, you figure there are a lot of people named Cannon. But, it's like, oh, that's the same name as the mayor. So then he clicks on it and opens it up. And all of a sudden we have the press release and the complaint saying that he'd been that the mayor had been arrested. And you know, that late in the morning had just gotten, you know, posted bond and walked out of jail.
What are some things that stand out to you, Ben, as far as some questions that remain about this?
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of questions remaining. I think that we have sort of there's some things that are very, very clear. They're laid out. I mean, the whole kind of, anything you read about it, anything that you see on TV about it, I don't care whether it's, you know, they're saying, then we're going to reconstruct the timeline. Who are these people that he's, you know, that he's working with? And the fact of the matter is that the only things that anybody knows really at this point are contained in the 48-page affidavit.
Criminal complaint.
It's the criminal complaint, and it's the essentially what the FBI is. It's the Justice Department has compiled it, but it's what the FBI's kind of testimony about what's happened here. And it sets out a very specific timeline. In some cases, there are specific meetings that are mentioned, specific interactions. There are specific transcripts. Cannon saying, you know, the most famous one, I think, that's come out now is him saying that he looks better in an orange necktie than in an orange suit. So some of that stuff we know very specifically. Other stuff is, you know, kind of hinted at in there or is mentioned once or twice. You got to kind of piece it together. So, for instance, you know, what was the investigation that started this? Right. He didn't come down.
Simple tip about.
Right. A local law enforcement undercover officer, you know, is posing as a businessman, gets a tip about some possible public corruption and notifies the FBI. FBI comes down with their own undercover guy. This local officer introduces the FBI guy as, hey, this is a businessman who is representing some Chicago venture capitalists looking to possibly do some development here in Charlotte. And from there, it's the FBI and investigation goes off. But, you know, it's months until Cannon becomes the primary target of the investigation. So then there's all kinds of questions about, all right, well, first of all, you know, who were they looking into originally? Mm-hmm. What was the original tip? What was the original case? You know, what were these other things that led to it? And we also know that some of these investigations are ongoing. So there's I think that we can reasonably expect more to come out. I mean, you know, like I said in a piece yesterday, you know, it's not just illegal to accept a bribe. It's also illegal to bribe someone.
Patrick Cannon didn't know these people before. Let's assume he hadn't seen them around. If he's accepting bribes from these potential developers, I would think he would.
As is alleged in the complaint. I just want to make sure
I said if.
Yeah, no, I know. I just want to make sure that we cover our ground here.
That he's...
No, absolutely, absolutely.
I wonder if there were these fake profiles. Did he check them out online or anything about, hey, are they legitimate investors? Did they put up... They talked a lot about a multiple-use development, and that was the ultimate goal, this multiple-use development.
So we're talking about retail and apartments and
right,
what, so
somewhere
forth.
In Charlotte. And but were there any... plans ever seen? You ever see any plans?
No, that is a great question. Right. So this original, this first agent that comes down undercover, his whole thing is, hey, I want to start a bar or a nightclub somewhere, maybe in Uptown, maybe in South End, you know, and Cannon and some other folks suggest a spot for him, or suggest a series of spots. And he says, you know what? No, I want this one. I want this one here in Uptown that has all these parking problems and is going to need a bunch of zoning changes. Hey, can you help me out? And you're right. And this goes on. I mean, the meeting that they had about it, by the time they sat down to dinner, so that means that they've, you know, there's obviously been a certain amount of talking before this, because by the time there was a dinner in December 2012 where the agent and Cannon meet for dinner at the Capitol Grill, and the agent says, hey, I can give you this amount of money, and but, you know, I need some help with zoning and so forth. And by the time you get to that meeting, right, obviously there's you assume there's a certain amount of groundwork that's gone on until you get to that point. And then they're still talking about it all the way up through 2014. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, what's the progress that's gone forward there? Is there progress? I mean, how does that work out? Now, you assume that the FBI is
And if the FBI has been infiltrating, you know, this group since 2010, and it sounds like they were meeting with multiple business people.
That's right.
Right. And, you know, so I don't know. We don't know if Cannon did much back checking. But if you have these people, this person who seems to be accepted by a bunch of developers, I don't know.
If I were business developers, I'd be worried that one of my, because remember, there's that local law enforcement agent who's also posing as a businessman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would be worried that that someone in this community is actually not a developer. And I think that'd be a problem for obviously if you're doing something illegal, but also for like if you like want to contract them to build something, that might be a problem.
Sure.
And it's interesting looking at the criminal complaint, because it's clear throughout they are really trying to boost his ego, talking about president, him visiting the president, and about Cannon's bragging about going to see President Obama.
There's one section in particular, yeah.
I'm paging through this right now,
and it's just, oh, you're really moving. I'm paraphrasing here. You're really moving up, Pat. I mean, I can't wait to see you.
Five, 10, 15 years.
You have it now. Go ahead and read that.
I do have it in front of me.
Yeah, so Cannon's saying that he's meeting the president, and he's going to go up to Washington. He's got a hobnob with the president. They're going to talk about some transit stuff.
He's first going to meet with all the secretaries, and then he says, "Oh, and then I'm going to
not
a
the
party.
Administrative office or off administrative assistant secretaries, the secretaries
of transportation,
yeah, right?
the cabinet
secretaries, exactly. And then there's a party that the president is throwing, and he's going to go there." And he tells this to one of the FBI agents, and he says...
Who he thinks is a real estate developer.
Exactly. He says, good for you. You know you haven't even hit the pinnacle of your political career yet, have you, Patrick? It'll be fun to watch you the next 10, 15, 20 years. Watch where you go.
And right, and considering the kind of the double nature of what he's talking about there, and the double nature of, you know, who this guy is and everything, it's hard not to look at the irony of it in retrospect.
Yeah, and then he continues, "Wow, look at you! Well, I am. I'm just proud and grateful to have you as a friend."
Yeah,
there's some other thing. Another thing that stands out to me is there's a series of payments. Total a little over $48,000, and they're all kind of, you know, you'll help us out and get through permits, and if there are any zoning issues or anything, you're gonna, you know, Cannon, and he was councilman for most of the time during this investigation, he's gonna help out these developers, but then he more turns into, more than that, a salesman, because it's about
that's
when
right.
they go to Vegas
that's he, right so he meets the second the first undercover agent, the venture capitalist guy, the guy with the bar, who wants to start the bar, he introduces him to a second guy who's a Vegas real estate developer. And this developer, he wants to do a big mixed-use development, $125 million somewhere in Charlotte. And they're going to but he needs to get these foreign investors to do it. So the whole thing becomes Cannon's going to go to Vegas and convince these guys to invest in this dude's project. And and in return, Cannon suggests, hey, how about I'm running for mayor? How about a political contribution? This is in the summer of late spring and into the summer of last year. And he says, you know, we got another city councilman who's looking to run. And which we know now, of course, it was James Mitchell. And it would look good on my fundraising report.
Got a report coming up.
Yeah,
June
30th.
If
you get that in there. So you're absolutely right, though. Then it becomes, okay, I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to pitch these investors. I'm going to tell them that I've known you forever and that you had a hand in the Metropolitan Development, which is, the one just outside of Uptown. And I've heard some people call it in Midtown, which, is – fine.
Target,
Best Buy,
Trader Joe's.
Target. Yeah, exactly. So he does. He goes to Vegas on an all expense paid trip to meet with these investors, and they give him $1,000 in spending money, which he apparently gives to his wife, and then they give him $5,000 after the trip, and then later on they say, hey, yeah, guess what? You got those investors. You know, we got one of them to invest. Here's another little payment. And they give him $10,000 off of that. And then it becomes one of the things that's funny and we haven't really touched on. I mean, the document has some things in there that are just fascinating. And one of them is that from that point forward, right, after he meets the investors in Vegas, and of course, the investors are all undercover FBI agents. After he meets them, they keep giving these updates like, oh, hey, yeah, those investors. OK, so now we got another guy. And they'd planted one of the agents in Vegas had one of these investors. He was skeptical at the time. He didn't really seem to be buying into what
skeptical investor.
And that is how they talk about him. They from henceforth known as skeptical investor.
They
capital
even
letters,
it.
Capital
yeah,
letters.
I wish Halloween was coming up soon.
So you could be the skeptical investor. I think that's a really great costume. And that's how they refer to the skeptical investor. And then there's this whole thing happens where through the latter part of the year, they're planning to bring the skeptical investor down, drive him around the Metropolitan Development to say, see, here's what we did. And we did this because Councilman Cannon was able to help us push through past these zoning things, these planning things. And then they have like the agent come down, the undercover agent, the skeptical investor. He comes to Charlotte. This is in February. Of this year, that was last month, he comes to Charlotte and they, quote unquote, drive him around to through the Metropolitan Development and then bring him in. He meets with Cannon, who's now the mayor, in the mayor's office. Cannon says, welcome to the mayor's office. And then, again, kind of sells him on this thing. And the skeptical investor says, oh, wow, I was on the fence, but now after I've seen after I've seen the development, I'm very impressed with you. I mean, because of you, I'm in. I'm going to put in $25 million.
But where's the development?
This investment.
I mean, what? It's just on the idea of hey, we're going to invest. Well, there's never any specifics
not specifics in the complaint, and that's for very good reason. First of all, we know that there's still ongoing investigations. Second of all, one of the reasons that one of the things that's happening. I mean, we do know that they were supposedly looking at developing along the Gold Line or possibly the Blue Line, but really the Gold Line. There's mention of, so this is the streetcar, right? Mm-hmm. The most controversial development. I mean, I would say almost inarguably the most controversial development in Charlotte over the past couple of years, right? And Cannon is forwarding, according to these documents, again, is forwarding these plans from city officials saying, okay, here's where we're going to have the stops are going to be. Here's the latest plans for it. Here's the construction schedule. At one point, he calls the city manager to ask about the schedule and how we're going to do it. He's telling these guys about how they're looking for federal funds and how one of the grants dropped out. Stuff that we followed on the public side because we've known when the city's been reporting it here. But I mean, this is all. I mean, this is real movie stuff. I mean, right? This. I mean, how many movies have you seen where the villain is, you know, or the plot, the conspiracy is to buy up land next to some government development site where the train's going through, and they're gonna buy up the land because then it's gonna be a whole lot more valuable. So that's kind of what they're talking about here. But it all ends up right with this: the skeptical investor leaves, and the undercover real estate developer who's been the buddy drops off a briefcase full of with $20,000 in cash in it, and then the allegation is that. That Cannon has asked for 1% of the entire development, which would be $1.25 million.
And I guess if that's true, I mean he's become more of a salesman. I guess that's kind of given his role. I guess that's a little understandable. You'd make that request because it's not.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting to watch in the Lucy, you want to comment on Greg's comment there?
Greg, do we need to be going through your background?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it kind of reflects that. Hey, I'm not just getting through your. I'm not just doing favors for you and getting through any permitting issues. I am part of your team. I am this.
And it's good. I mean, he is definitely getting.
He becomes a salesman. He's more than a.
You're right. As a public official, I don't think are allowed to. I mean, that's the whole point.
Oh, I know.
There.
Right. But asking for the point.
I was going to play devil's advocate in a different way. You know, go ahead, Lisa. Yeah.
I mean, when you look at how this started and then how it ended,
yeah.
You know, you kind of see him kind of building up, you know, the first time with the $12,000, you know,
and it ends on the day where the FBI says he's going to meet to discuss how they're going to move this $1+ million.
I mean, you can see him being squeamish at first with the $12,000. He kind of puts that out on the table, and then he calls the agent back after. You know, he has accepted the money and said, hey, you know.
That was the first bribe.
Yeah, you know, basically, bribe. You know, this isn't a bribe. You know, I don't want, you know.
Right, I don't want you to think it's a bribe. If you do think it's a bribe, well, listen, I can give the money back. And this, of course, is on the same day that New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin has been indicted. For corruption charges. No, you're absolutely right. And I would guess that, you know, there's been some of the questions we've gotten from listeners has been, well, how is this not entrapment? And first of all, I'm not a lawyer. I think
entrapment is a very vague and difficult thing.
I think it's sort of a vague term, but I think it's very specific legally. One thing the Observer, I thought, did a nice breakdown of it. And I know that Mark Rumsey, our All Things Considered host, is probably by the time this airs, we'll have done his own interview with people kind of steeped in the law on this. But essentially, one of the reasons that apparently they've been trying to build the pattern of it, right? So he builds the pattern here.
He grows
through the agents. I mean, in this report, it's the agent saying, hey, listen, I'm going to need some help here. You can help me? Yeah? Can help me? Okay, and if I give you this money, then you'll help me. Okay, so I'm going to give you this money, and then you're going to help me, right? And every time after it, like, they're always checking in about it. And I understand that they're building their case there. I would not be surprised when it gets into court if the defense is arguing, listen, these guys really pushed him into it and kind of tricked him into it. He thought he was acting as a businessman, and he's pro-development. He went to, he's trying to bring $125 million mixed-use development to Charlotte to go along and build this economic development along this economic development project. It's what we want, right? We want development next to the Gold Line. We are a government that wants to be pro-business, wants to help developers. You know, and you got to wonder if in his head, too, he's not thinking, well, I'm going to Vegas and I'm going to help these guys out. Now, obviously, there's other things in there, like, you know, saying, well, hey, how about a campaign contribution?
I mean, obviously, there are also, I feel like, morals kind of just gradually change.
You see him. That's what
and
you don't.
You justify it.
You don't know what the FBI kept out of there. I mean, obviously, this is their specific document.
This is their best case.
But it's an interesting, no matter how you see things change over these few years,
sure,
how his personality even changes a little, and you see him, according to this document, see his ego grow and how they're trying to
mess up. With that said,
and having get a little bit more daring.
I think that's right. Now, with that said, you understand that he's also meeting these people and getting to know these people better and getting to trust these people better. You know, one of the agents he personally invited to his to come to his inauguration as mayor. In addition to that, you know, we do have to remember that the reason that this sting operation started is because the undercover agent came as posing as this businessman into Charlotte, and then over the course of a number of months, I mean, from 2011 to 2012, this agent, the FBI is gathering evidence to basically show that Cannon has not just done this under the sting operation, but the sting operation is their most solid evidence of, because they can record the actual wheeling and dealing.
And when you look at where he left off, I mean, there is, you know, as far as the allegations go, you know, it is in the mayor's office.
$20,000 in cash.
If you are arguing, you know, he used his public office to influence negotiations and the way the city works, I mean, in the mayor's office, $20,000 in the mayor's office is kind of pretty good pinnacle of where to leave off.
Of course, there's been questions about how far does this go in the city government. There's zoning planning officials noted, if not by name, in the criminal complaint where he makes calls. Mayor Cannon makes calls to these people.
There's no evidence in there that any of these officials, though, have done anything anything wrong. The only things in there are Cannon calls this person. Cannon directs this person to help out this other person, but we don't have any knowledge of if they've done that or not.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's interesting too, because I mean, these are things worth to checking into when you look at Cannon and talking about all his influence. And you know, I'm meeting with the cabinet secretaries, and you know, I'm moving in high circles and everything. There's a lot of bluster in there. So
absolutely,
it's sorting through. All this bluster, you know, are these completely empty promises, or is there any shred of truth in what he says he can promise?
We had a UNCC professor, and he's his kind of area of expertise is elections and voting law and those kind of Eric Heberlig on Charlotte Talks yesterday. And his whole thing, he was kind of incredulous that people would be trying to bribe the mayor, because we have what's called a weak mayor form of government. He was saying, you know, he doesn't have any real power. He gets to vote on the veto, and he's got the bully pulpit.
Bribe the city manager.
Right.
Bribe the city council. You'd have a better chance bribing the city council.
That's what his point was, probably. You could actually argue to some degree the city council, I mean, you know, the sitting on committees and everything, has a is more powerful than the mayor.
Well, it did start off with him as a member of city council and his mayor pro tem.
That's right.
So, well, Ron Carley had a press conference this week on Thursday addressing some of not addressing the specifics of the investigation, but more to assure the public and city employees that this is not how we do business. The city is bigger than one person, and this as well.
This is a city that has big events and big fun, and we're going to continue to have big events and great fun.
You just really wanted to play that.
I did.
Hear him saying big fun.
We're talking about a scandal, bribery, and he's trying to assure the public that we're still going to have events. We're going to have fun, and then we're going to Speed Street is going to happen.
Well, Lizzie, you were there.
City of
what was
fun.
What was the context of big fun?
There were a couple questions about how this is going to impact people doing business, who want to do business with the city. And then there was a question about, are you worried whether this is going to make it harder for tournaments, festivals, big events to want to come to Charlotte? And he said, well, you know.
I'll tell you what he said.
This is a city that has big events and big fun.
What do we have?
And we're going to continue to have big events and great fun.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
Okay. Big fun. Okay. So that was the context. And, you know, at this point, I think the ACC made an announcement yesterday that something? Am I just making this up?
They are going to have the ACC basketball tournament's returning here.
Okay, and he cited that announcement yesterday. Uh-huh. Saying, hey, look, I got this email. And when you're dealing with all this.
Of course, they're coming. You know why they're coming?
Why?
Because we're a city of fun.
Of big fun.
Okay.
Of big fun.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
I could see him being excited after all this, you know, all this drudgery, you know. There's some big fun to seize on.
We're having a little fun, obviously. But all kidding aside, he wanted to emphasize in something that stood out to me, and I think stood out to me when I was editing your story about this press conference, Lisa, is that he was very strong in saying how impressed he was with the city when he came to when he was applying for the job, when he's interviewing for the job. And he said he would have never been interested in this job if he had any inkling that there was this kind of stuff was going
on. There's
dirty
goings on. So yeah.
And the other thing he stressed too is, I mean, there was a lot of in the complaint talk about Cannon talking with planning and zoning officials, for example, you know, Carly saying, hey, these planning decisions, these zoning decisions involve a whole bunch of people and different bodies as well. So,
well, something tells me we will we'll talk about this again next week.
What?
Yeah.
I'm never talking about this again.
All right, Greg. Or no, I said Greg.
You did.
All right, I just called you Greg.
You did.
Ben, Lisa,
yes.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.